You're listening to the audio production of The New Testament in Its World, Audio Lectures, Part 2, by N.T. Wright and Michael F. Byrd, published by Zondervan and presented by the authors. These audio lectures are a unique learning experience. Unlike a traditional audiobook's direct narration of a book's text, The New Testament in Its World includes high-quality live recordings that cover the important points from each chapter, as well as relevant material from other sources.
The dense and dramatic argument of Galatians excites and confuses readers. You see, in brief, Paul writes this letter to the Galatians after learning that certain intruders have gained a foothold in these churches, and they are urging the Galatian Gentile believers to be circumcised. The intruders were effectively trying to bring the Galatians into a closer relationship with both the Jerusalem church and, by implication, draw them closer into Judaism. Paul's exhortation to the Galatians could be summarized as something like this. By the Messiah's death, believers have been rescued from the evil age. The curses of the Torah, the law, have been born and broken on the cross so that Jews and Gentiles might be justified by faith and receive adoption into Abraham's renewed family and fulfill the Torah by life in the Spirit. If one is in the Messiah, then one is in Abraham's family. Faith and spirit are signs of belonging to God's people, and justification and adoption are the benefits of belonging. Therefore, they should not submit to circumcision, which entails slavery under the law, and instead they should enjoy the freedom of the Messiah and the power of the Spirit. I mean, to simmer it down even further, we could say that justification by faith means fellowship by faith. Jesus, not the law, is the fulcrum of God's saving action. And if you want the law, then you should settle for a law of love. As with all of the New Testament, there are some critical issues and background information that we need to explore. Thankfully, in Galatians, authorship is not one of them. And in this case, it includes the place and date of Galatians, as well as the situation behind the letter and the identity of the intruders. In regards to place, we have to differentiate the interior of Asia Minor, where the ethnic Gauls or Celts settled, and the wider province of Galatia that stretched further south. Now, the Gauls were originally a Central European tribe from the Danube Basin, and they spread to Switzerland, southern Germany, northern Italy, France, Britain, and after entering the Balkans and Greece, they crossed the Hellespont into Asia Minor at the invitation of King Nicomedes of Bithynia, and he employed them as mercenaries. They eventually settled in the vicinity of Ancyra, where they became the Greek-speaking Gauls, and they were absorbed with Asia Minor into the rest of the Roman Empire in 189 BC. In Paul's time, the province of Galatia was located in the interior of Asia Minor and bordered by Cilicia and Pamphylia to the south, Asia to the west, and Pontus to the north, and then Cappadocia to the east. So when Paul writes to the Galatians, did he have in mind political Galatia in the south, you know, churches established during his first missionary journey, or was he referring to the ethnic Galatians in the north, churches perhaps established during his second missionary journey? Well, there's a number of good reasons for either option, and a good commentary will spell out the arguments in full. We prefer the South Galatia hypothesis. First of all, Paul's travels normally focused on large cities and their neighboring satellite towns along the Mediterranean coast, as connected with major Roman roads. So it makes more sense that Paul would visit cities like Pisidian Antioch and nearby urban centers like Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Second, the churches of Galatia would be a perfectly sensible designation for churches in that area, as I just said, you know, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and the like, since Paul does use Roman provincial terminology to describe geographical areas. The objection that Paul would not call non-ethnic Galatians Galatians fails when we remember a few things. You know, look, even if Paul called them something different like Phrygians, you've got the same problem. You know, they may not have all been native Phrygians. We also know about inscriptional evidence where people living in the southern region could...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?